The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And you probably have heard of Grant Freaking, the Tennessee wide receiver. He makes his third appearance on our program, and we've had some great conversations with him over the years about life as a football player in this current era. And Grant, great to have you back. It seems like every time we talk to you, you've added something else to your resume, as if playing for the Tennessee Vols isn't enough. Good afternoon. It's great to have you on. Hope your spring has been well.
Absolutely, Paul. Like you said, number three coming on. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, well, so now you were dabbling in NIL, I think, when we saw you last. Now you're not only a consultant, you're heavily vested in this space. So I'll get out of the way and listen to what you have been doing and how it's going.
Absolutely, Paul. Yeah, so, I mean, as you know, and other listeners of this show have probably heard my story. Have been an entrepreneur since I was 15 years old, long before I enrolled in the University of Tennessee and started playing football. But as NIL approached, I saw a lot of opportunity and ways that I could kind of, fit myself and my brand into it. And not, long into the era, Shannon Terry, who many know of starting and founding Rivals in 24/7, hit me up and it was crucial in this new era that there was a voice within the NIL landscape that, was kind of away from the institutions, wasn't necessarily a partner with the institutions, but could connect to today's student athletes on a level that really nobody else in the country really could. And so he brought me on board and in a position as a president of NILU at On3 to educate student athletes and kind of guide them through this new era that's, ever changing. But I'm uniquely positioned that I've had the entrepreneurial background, but, I'm also running out through the tee on Saturdays and strapping on my shoulder pads and helmet the same as my fellow colleagues that I'm also helping through this era. So, it's kind of the Wild West right now. Ever since last time I talked to you, it's a whole different era now. But, it's been so neat to kind of walk into these team rooms. I've been traveling the country all spring and going to continue to do it this summer to educate student athletes, educate coaches, athletic departments on what this new era is from the standpoint of someone who's currently going through it as well and actually on the field.
Grant, I remember talking to you, I believe it was last summer, then we saw you in Knoxville when we were up there I think it was the Georgia game. And you were telling me that at that moment in time, players were, making a few bucks, maybe, doing endorsements on Cameo appearances. But it was, let's be honest, small change. That is no longer the case. What has it been like for your teammates and your friends around college football to see this thing explode?
Well, I think we all knew that there was going to be a shift in this era, and the big question mark was when it was going to be. When was the NCAA going to come out with new language on how they were going to, provide guidance on this? What were state legislators going to do and kind of when would that be enacted? What was something going to be on the federal level? And ever since we last talked and even when I came on July 1st, when all this kicked off, we saw the big time athletes go out and get the deals with the brands. Then we saw, football season kick off and, the school year start, and we saw, other athletes go out and find deals, whether it was, the local pizza shop or the t-shirt shop, or maybe, signing with Bojangles or Dr. Pepper, some of these big brands that have done bigger initiatives. But, towards the end of 21 and into the beginning of 22, we saw the C word, we saw the collectives take shape. And that's what really kicked off this whole conversation on, how's this going to look for college athletics? The question marks are coming. Is it sustainable? And that's what's kind of turned this in to all the headlines that have started. The million-dollar athletes, the athletes, that are making money in high school because they're in a state where the legislation permits them to do so. And so we've kind of seen this go from, you know, a couple bucks for an Instagram post or maybe, you know, an appearance or an autograph to, you know, serious six, seven figure dollars that these athletes are making. And that's why we were so uniquely positioned at On3 to go out and we created the On3 NIL valuation to where, you know, we're not going to go out there and predict, you know, how much money an athlete's going to make or how much money that they've made today. But, you know, with our algorithm, we give an index of what the true market value of an athlete is. The market's so skewed right now because there's, you know, high dollar figures being thrown out for certain athletes. But, you know, there's also the golfers. There's also the baseball players. There's also the backup quarterback. And there's also the kicker who, you know, maybe aren't going to be the first pick for the collective or the booster, the donor to kind of connect with their brand or their company. But they're also eligible to make dollars. So when they want to go to a brand and tell them, you know, how much they're worth to do a collaboration or a social media post or, you know, anything within the NIL landscape, you know, at On3, through our On3 NIL valuation, we're able to give them a good idea of actually what their brand's worth and what the market value is actually saying what it's worth, so we can try to correct it a little bit.
Grant, last fall when we were together, it seemed like locker room was great. Now, you were we were talking primarily about Tennessee's locker room, where everybody was so fired up under Josh Heupel. But we talked a week ago to Nick Saban, and, you know, he, of all people, he's worried about the locker room. He said, you know, what's going to happen? You know, he was the first one to announce a seven-figure deal for Bryce Young. So, forgetting him for a second, but let's look at the locker room now and moving forward toward this season. When things are upside down, you're in the locker room. What do you think it's going to be like?
Well, and that's the thing. I think a lot of the people, and obviously, you know, Coach Saban is around the locker room, not necessarily inside the locker room. You know, I've been in a locker room. I've been in it since July 1st kicked off, and I've been through it, you know, through all the phases I just talked through, from the little deals to the bigger deals to the collectives. You know, it's not tearing apart the locker room, and it hasn't yet. And, you know, I've seen that at the biggest stage of SEC football, right? And part of that is because I talked about on the show when you were in Knoxville against Georgia. You know, this now is reality, and it's teaching kids life skills of kind of what life's going to be like down the road, 5-10 years, and it's fast-tracking those life skills. And at some points in their life, you know, the person who you didn't think, you know, did any work at work all day is getting the promotion and getting the Christmas bonus. But, you know, it wasn't your turn that year. And maybe, the boss didn't favor you as much. But, you know, they're going to learn that someday. And the same thing is true now. The same guys that are producing, you know, college athletics is a performance-based business. And the same guys that are producing are the same guys that are going to find opportunity. But there's also a lot of guys out there that do really good things in the community, have really powerful brands, are huge on social media, and might not be making all the plays on Saturday. They're making a boatload of money in NIL too. And a lot of these collectives and a lot of these, you know, NIL initiatives in these college towns are including the full 125-man roster like it is in football. And so every guy is making money. There's group licensing deals. There's ways for from walk-ons to backups to starters to go out and make a good chunk of change in this era. So, yes, there's guys out there that are making substantially more money than other guys on the team, but those are the guys that are producing, right? And if all these guys want to raise their hand every time someone comes in and says, who wants to go play in the league someday, they're going to realize that not everyone's making the same dollar amount in the NFL. You know, certain positions naturally make higher amounts of money, and the guys that produce make higher amounts of money. And the same thing is true now. And like I said, and I've said it many times, the market's going to correct itself, and it always does. And when you, the first time that a big time player goes out and doesn't produce and, you know, is on the bench or gets hurt, there's not going to be as many NIL opportunities coming that way. So it's going to work itself out. But from someone that's been in the locker room since NIL started and has been in a locker room since 2017 pre-NIL, this era in NIL hasn't changed the locker room one bit. It's actually made it more fun because guys are actually out there being able to support each other, showing up to their events. Guys are bringing them on board to help them out work camps and make money and put it in their pockets. It's been good for the whole team across the board.
Grant, I'm curious. You know, when I was in college, none of us had any money. If we had money to go out and grab a burger and a beer, it was a big deal. A lot of you guys were no different, but that has changed. So What are your teammates doing, not only at Tennessee, but around college football, the people that you're dealing with? What are they doing with the money?
Well, you know, I've been a big advocate, you know, since day one, you know, pre-NIL. Everyone said, you know, college athletes aren't getting any money. You know, college athletes, you know, we're getting from cost of attendance to, you know, stipends to per diems. Athletes were making money. And, you know, the same thing that's going on now and the same thing I was 12 months ago right before NIL, I was encouraging my teammates to make smart decisions with their money. Because when you're a Division I athlete and you're playing football in the SEC, there's not a whole lot of things that you got to spend your money on. From meals, you're getting your clothes, you're getting your housing paid for. I mean, there's not a whole lot of things that you got to go out and waste your money on. You know, and guys will go out and, you know, I've had, you know, 5 or 6 years worth of rosters turnover that I've been a part of. And I've seen, you know, guys, you know, spend their money 1,000 different ways. But, you know, now that they're making a substantial chunk of change, that's where we come in, because I wanted to be able to connect with these athletes and tell them, you know, here's what you can do with this money. If you want to invest it now at 18, 19, 20 years old, here's what you're going to have at you know, 45, 50 years old, right? And you don't have to go out and you don't have to be, you know, doing all the things and being the hot shot, not everyone know you're making all that money. You know, go out, handle your business just like you were a year ago, and now you're going to have money that, you know, you never thought you were going to have coming into college to set you up after school. And I just talked about the NFL, you know, the amount of guys that think they're going to the league that end up not, you know, turning out, or the guys that only make a practice squad or only play for a couple of years, you know, they're going to have to go and find a career after. So the great thing about On3 and NILU is we're able to build this curriculum and let guys know, you know, what life's like after it, and teach them things with their money, with their personal branding, with their, you know, how to be an effective leader and what's leadership strategy look like, all these things, to where, you know, it might make a successful, you know, business person or a business leader, or it might help them, you know, in career professional development. We're able to teach them that while they're actually, you know, on the field playing and making this money, so they make smart investments. You know, they you know, have someone handle their money that has their best interest in mind, the athlete's best interest in mind, not, you know, the financial advisor who's, you know, wanting to do all these whack crazy investments and you know, ends up, you know, hosing them on the back end of things. But, you know, we want to educate student athletes to make this era sustainable, but also see athletes have success in this era and be able to create that and have them have long-term success down the road as well.
Graham, before you go, Tennessee fans are watching right now. They're curious, like we all are, about what's in store for year two under Josh Heupel. Can you give us a quick preview?
Well, you know, we had a fantastic spring. You know, Coach Heupel and the entire staff have done a outstanding job recruiting, you know, better so than I've seen in my years at Tennessee, and I've been there for plenty. You know, I'm just so excited to see a juiced up fan base, and you know, from Coach Tony V to Coach Barnes to Coach Heupel, all under Danny White. You know, this athletic department's in a better spot than it's been in a long, long time. And, you know, but between Hendon and, you know, you guys like Cedric Tillman, you got a whole bunch of guys, you know, at positions across the board. You have a lot of guys that have a lot of confidence going into this year, and you got a lot of fans that are confident, and you have a coaching staff that wants to be there, that wears the T proudly. And I think that Tennessee fans are in for a good year this coming season, and it's going to be fun. You have guys that want to be there every day, enjoy, you know, putting on that power tee, running through the tee, and playing with a lot of pride. And I think that's something that you know, we've lacked for the last few years. But you know, with Coach Heupel and the staff, I think it's going to be a real fun one. And you know, we'll have to wait and see a few more months. I think we're closing on 100 days till opening kickoff. We're a Thursday night game again, but I think it's going to be a real fun one this year. I'm excited what's to come.
Grant Furking, wide receiver from Tennessee and NIL entrepreneur. Thanks so much for the time. Can't wait to see you in Knoxville this fall, and keep going. You're doing a great job. It's always fantastic to have you here.
Paul, thank you. I appreciate it, man. Go Balls.
Thank you very much. Grant joining us from Knoxville. Let's take a break. We have 45 minutes remaining. We'll get your reaction to that and more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and we appreciate you being with us here on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's go to Columbus. Ohio. Jeff is next.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Jeff.
Man, I hear all this hate and venom from your boy, JK. I'm thinking this Yankee's not the most hated guy on the show. What do you think, Paul?
I hate to break it to you, Jeff. I think you're a comfortable number two behind the Bama hater.
I mean, I'm pretty comfortable. I'm feeling pretty good. I could probably come down and hang out with the fellas and you and not have to borrow saving state troopers. I mean, I'm thinking I could just come down and be carefree and hang out, don't you? Because the venom's all towards
JK. I think you could possibly do that. I might bring a little security.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you'll try to stir it up and get your fan base all fired up against me, but I feel pretty good right now that JK is just taking the spot of this Yankee. But, hey, Paul, what's up with the new format of the show? What's going on with the show, man? It seems like all of a sudden since Cubes left, it's a new format. Explain it to me, Paul.
Well, we do have a couple of new sheriffs in town, Jamari and Danny B. So, we're tweaking the show. Whenever there's a change, you understand that. There's a reboot.
Yeah.
What do you not like it?
Well, I just think it's too guest-driven, Paul.
Oh.
I've told you for years the show is caller-driven, and it should be. And the crazy thing is, I think the beginning of the show, people get fired up for the beginning of the show, and now you've got a guest right out of the gate. I mean, did you clear that first time slot out with John in Louisville that he was going to get bumped for a guest every day?
Yeah, today.
I mean, seriously.
I think, Paul,
I think he gets on hold at noon every day to be the first caller. Did you clear that with him?
We blundered today. Instead of letting John and Matt be the first two guests, we had Bruce Feldman.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yeah.
What does he know about college football?
But I just think it's like every day is a guest at the top of the show, and then it's guest, 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 guest. I mean, hell, last week, I don't know if it was because you were on the road a little bit and you got a little tired or whatever, but it just was – it was guest overkill. This seems like Cubes left, and it's a whole new format. Am I wrong or am I right?
Yeah, this is just me thinking. I frankly think the show's gotten better.
Oh, you do? Well, I haven't called in about a week and a half, so maybe it has. I don't know.
By the way, Jeff, when I mentioned Jamari and Danny, I'm not blaming them. I'm part of the conversation, and I frankly thought it was a good idea to give the show a little bit of a jolt early on, and that's not.
I mean, are you trying to take it to the good old days or a whole new direction?
No, it's just something. It is May, in case you didn't know. I'm sure you do because you're a home builder.
Oh yeah.
But we're not like coming in here on a Monday after Alabama gets upset and you want to. I want to hear the reaction, but I don't think a whole lot really happened overnight that we had to have. That call at the first. I mean, we only have about four guests in a show. The show is 4 hours long, so the guests normally get that last guest went a little bit longer. But most guests are about 8 or 9 minutes, so that leaves about 45 minutes every hour for phone calls. You don't think that's enough time?
Well, I just feel like it's a lot more depth. Is there anything
about this lineup here that you like? I mean, first of all, you were pining for the people that aren't on anymore. Now you're saying we have too many guests, and if we took then you don't like the calls. I'm just really wondering what can we do here that would satisfy Jeff from Ohio?
The same old Paul on the back, telling you how great the show is. This and that. I think you like a little controversy. You know you do. And I think the listeners like a little controversy. I don't know why you're arching your back up at me, Paul. I'm just coming from a good listener.
One thing I don't have any control over is what the callers are going to say.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I just feel like I can back you into the corner and you go rope-a-dope on me all the time when I ask you some tough questions anymore. What's wrong?
Jeff,
I like to hear you come back and fire back a little bit.
I think you know me pretty well. You've called the show for a long time. You may ask me anything you so desire.
Okay. Hey, Paul, what did you think of those guidelines and guardrails that the NCAA was going to put out for the NIL? Did you think I had much bite?
Totally laughable.
Yeah, it was. I was thinking, why don't we put some guidelines and guardrails on some of the callers? What do you think?
What do you think we should do?
Well, I think we ought to make I-Man call in and not bring up Jim every time. That's a good guardrail, and I think the guy would
fumble all over himself. It is 6:26 Eastern time, and Jim's name, I don't believe, has come up on this
program
tonight.
Well, it has now, because I'm gonna back up my 1-2 punch guy like Shane used to be. He's telling it right. Let me tell you something, fine, Bob. This is what you've done to the show. It's pathetic. Jeff's right. You started off with a guest. You fill up the first 45 minutes with guests, then you repeat a guest from 2 days ago, and then you repeat another guest. You replay guests all day long, and then you come at the end of the 30 minutes of the third hour, then you come the last 3 or 4 minutes, and only have time for one call.
Jim, I don't really want to be the first one. The show sucks, Bob.
I'm telling you, and you know I know. I'm telling you, the show sucks.
Jeff, first of all, with all due respect, you don't know what you're talking about because I know
what I'm talking about. You can't defend it because you're defenseless on this thing. Jeff, if you would allow me to finish to get to the predicate
of the sentence, we haven't repeated any guests during a live portion, which you're talking about.
You replay guests, Bob. We've always done that. We do that during the breaks. Yeah, I watch the replay. I see it. You know, you replay guests after you've had a main guest. Then you replay a guest from two days ago.
During a commercial break.
You come on with Griffith. You won't let me talk, Bob. I mean, you scared? You scared of me to tell the truth? Do you think I'm afraid of you, Jim?
There may be some people in this world I'd be concerned about, but I'm not concerned about being afraid of you.
Well, I don't care.
Hey, Paul, that's not the point.
You're the only person I know that can torpedo a good call by Jeff.
Hey, Paul, how many times are we going to hear Saban talk about parody, Paul?
Well, if you guys know so much about talk radio, why don't you program the show for us? We'll be happy to get your suggestions.
I'll take you up on that, Bob. Wait a minute, Jeff. Wait a minute, Jeff. You're stepping on me now. I'll take you up on that program in the show. Cubes was the best you ever had. I like Brahms. Cubes the best you ever had, though. He's a great producer.
I thought the show had fallen apart. Yes, I mean you've told us this all the time.
As long as a person is no longer here,
then the show was better. That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement. How many times have you called in this show and said it's terrible, and now it was suddenly good when the guy that just left?
I'm gonna tell you something about it. It's brutal now. It's boring. It's brutal. I'm telling you, it's brutal. I don't care if anybody else has the guts to tell you that. I got the guts to tell you that. You know that.
Well, I do know that.
And I'm going to tell you something else, Paul. I want the show to be good, whether you believe that or not.
Well, Jim, you can help make this show great again.
Tell me how.
Well, you got to call in more than every week or two.
Well, but I'm not sanctioned. You won't sanction me. Your mother, you said I'm not sanctioned.
Well,
Hey, Paul, you had me sanctioned when I was helping you. I have to help you to a $5 million contract. I don't get a quarter out of that. And now you tell callers a couple weeks ago.
Final question, but we do have to go to Jim. What do you think you are worth? And I'll see if I can get it for you. Give me a number.
I'm worth at least $1,000 a month, and that's just a low dollar. I'm just being nice to you.
Hey, $12,000 a year. We got a piggy bank we can make that happen with. Jim, hate to run. We're up against a break. We're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Let's go to Augie next in New Orleans.
Hey, Paul. I was going to call you and tell you that I thought the show was great. Did you change the format or something?
Well, according to the two Bopsy twins, it's back in the toilet again.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I heard that, and I mean, I was online holding, and then I heard all of this complaining. I think the format's wonderful. I mean, we've had, it seems like every day we get to hear from Mitch. Matt gets on more than he used to. Now, I don't know if that's because he's just calling in or he was, put on the naughty list, but we're hearing from a lot of people. Now, I do have some complaints. We heard from that idiot Swami, the hillbilly philosopher today. We could cut him out. But I thought things were going great. And yesterday we learned some new words from Joe from Red Bay. He went through a couple of mitigations. I'm not sure what that meant, but it sounded pretty awful.
Yeah, and then the
– you have any idea?
The plagiarism accusation.
Yeah, plagiarism, and he was mitigated a couple of times.
Now, he was, yes. But don't forget, he's had a quadruple bypass, so you never know
what's
in those stents.
That's Larry. I'm talking about Joe.
Oh, Joe. He may have had the same thing happen to him. I'm not sure.
I think he had stents in the brain. We know Larry had a cardiac stents, but I think Joe's stents are in his head, so – But anyway, Paul, I think it's a great, great format, and keep it up. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very, very much for that inspiring call. I-Man is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul Feinbaum. Thank you for taking my call. Live from the Capital City.
Yeah.
You know, last week I heard some people talking about, you know, the good old days and that kind of thing.
The good old days.
And then there were some references made to me, you know, that I really hadn't changed all that much. It's kind of the same thing. Well, isn't that the anchor to the good old days? Aren't I the anchor to the good old days? I am the damn anchor and chain to the good old days. Because I am the good old days. And I'm a good old guy. And I really work. I got something to do every day. Every day. Don't you like that? Every day.
That's great.
I was listening to those two jackasses. And you're talking about one-trick pony. Then, you know, they will never be confused for Clydesdales. They will always be in the Jackass Corral. That is the same thing that Jeff and Jim complain about every day, every single day. You're talking about a one-trick pony. You wouldn't hire them two jackasses to give your grandchildren a ride in a backyard birthday party. Paul, we do some work downtown here in Montgomery in some of the apartment buildings, and it just so happens that's where the Montgomery Biscuits, the minor league baseball team, they have a bunch of apartments down.
Sure.
So I'm talking to this guy from Chicago today, and he's on the Braves, and he'll probably be playing Major League Baseball before too long. He is a professional baseball player, and we were kind of talking. He's talking about, you know, how hot it is down here, and it's different, and talked a little bit about his, you know, coming up and playing ball and how he loved baseball, and you know, he studied baseball. And he started throwing out names, and I thought, And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I thought, the hell with it. And I said, do you ever hear Jim from Tuscaloosa, Alabama? He was better than Ted Williams. He looked at me, never heard of him. And so he continued to talk. But I was just listening to those two guys talk, and it's the same thing every day. Listen, this is your program. And y'all are the cooks in this kitchen. And the way y'all make soup is the way it must be successful. It certainly must, because everybody's here. Now, you know, I didn't even notice after Coogs left that you moved guests. I mean, is it that big of a deal?
Well, first of all, we did it before he left.
Adjusting 5 or 6 minutes? Is that really that big a deal that drives those two numbskulls crazy? And then you saw what Jim did to Jeff's phone call, because you said it. He stepped all over it. That's who Jim is when he calls you. That's who Jim is every day he leaves his house and walks down to get the dollar hot dog and the glass of water at the hamburger joint. Who Jim is.
You were there. You heard the owner, didn't you?
I heard everything. And the pictures that we have been seeing on, I heard Matt say something about, I sent him a picture, and it looks like Goober at the gas station, you know, in Mayberry. And I know people in Tuscaloosa that have verified every single picture that's on the internet. That is Jim from Tuscaloosa. That is Jim. The pictures that Pat had in his office or y'all studio, whatever, that is Jim from Tuscaloosa. And he can deny it, but that's who he is. And like I said, those two jackasses will never be Clydesdales. They'll never sell Budweiser. Hell, they'll be lucky if they get some dirty water. Have a good day.
Squirrel is up next.
I don't understand such bitterness. I don't understand what the deal is with him and Jim. But did I hear Jim say $1,000 a month?
That's what he asked for, yes.
Do you remember when we were talking about the Feinbaum Big Brother scenario maybe a couple months ago?
Yes.
I had already negotiated Jim a $200,000 paycheck, if you recall.
Yeah, Jim needs a new agent.
Dude's selling himself off $12,000 a year.
$12,000 a year is about what I made for my first job.
You'll find that in the back seat of your car.
Yeah, but right now, I make more. Seriously, Squirrel, I don't like to brag about money, but I make more than $12,000 a month when I'm driving Uber on weekends.
I can imagine you do.
That's become a really good second income for me.
And I do the same delivering pizzas. I make way more than $1,000 a month. So I don't know why.
I don't drive the cheap cars. I drive a good car.
Well, if Jim's listening in the future, don't negotiate money. Let me do the negotiating on the money for him. I'll be his agent. I only want 10%. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
aloha.
Just a little note. The better agents 10's pretty normal, but the better ones can get up as much as 15%. We are heading to a break. We're not done yet. We got some celebrity callers on hold.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
And we are back. Time is running out, but not until we hear from Larry from Shelby. Larry, good afternoon.
Hey, man, what up, Paul?
Hey there.
Jack, don't play that, man. You put me this long. Hey, check it out. I believe you're just trying to do like this ex-girlfriend I had. She just figures you keep calling, and then finally you'll just quit. That's like that you putting all these guests on. You figure we're going to quit calling. We get tired of calling.
Well, I'm most surprised that you had a girlfriend. What's your home number? What year was that?
What's your home number?
What was the year that you had a
girlfriend? What's your home number?
My home number?
I'll call you.
I don't even know what my home number is. I have a home phone, and if you offered me $30,000 in cash, I could not tell you my home number right now.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I ain't quitting calling, but I do know
my cell number.
Let me tell you something.
It's 314-687-4321.
That's it.
Some poor guy in St. Louis is just getting blown up right now.
Let me tell you, that goofy guy you got on, let me tell you, I spent 18 years in law enforcement, Jack. How many times you think I've been in the witness box against damn good defense lawyers hounding my ass? Sheffield III, that's one of the best in this country.
I remember him, yeah.
And you got this geek on here that's supposed to scare me or something.
You talking about Augie?
Blah, 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 blah. Augie, ugly Augie.
Now, Larry, let me ask you a question. When you were in the wit box, did you come in uniform or did you dress up or did you wear your Alabama jersey?
You come in uniform.
Okay. Well, I
went to the Troopers Academy in Selma. Okay. The Tuscaloosa Academy is all drinking and partying. I went to Selma, Jack. That's where they serious. We go through mock trials. We learn about defense lawyers, about how their BS they lay on you. One thing you can do is ever start saying yes, yes, no. They got you when you do that. I take my time, piss them off. Would you repeat that question? I know how to play the game, Jack.
Well, Larry, I can imagine think about this for a second. Probably the most famous defense lawyer, in 30 years, was Johnny Cochran. Remember him? He's the one that defended O.J. Simpson. Can you imagine Johnny Cochran and Larry mano a mano back in the day? Man, I bet you would eat his lunch. A guy that got O.J. Simpson off for double murder.
Yeah. I've only been sued one time for $1 million by my when I police. Just because I shot a guy in the ass.
Now, whoa. Hold on a second, Larry. What was this guy doing?
11 burglary counts, Jack.
11?
I busted his ass.
So why did you 11. Shoot him? Did you identify yourself as an officer?
Well, I was in uniform, man. I was in my patrol car.
Well, Larry,
there's
a little bit more to it. unless there was an exigent threat, I just don't think you can shoot some guy in the backside because you feel like it.
Yeah, I neutered him, too.
What was he doing?
No more burglar, baby.
So, Larry,
he was running, man. He tried to pull a weapon on me.
Are you sure? Larry, I don't mean to sound like a lawyer here, but did he have a weapon after you shot him?
Hell yeah. Had a big old ass knife. I thought it was a gun, man. I didn't know.
What was it?
Hell, I'm scared. What?
What did he have on his possession?
The gun. I mean, the knife, man. I mean, I thought it was a gun. I saw it, man. It flashed.
I'm willing to bet that if you were an officer today, guys like Augie would own you and the police department that you worked.
No, they wouldn't. Hell, no. We went through the best. Look, they went after
what you went through.
Everything you can throw. We went federal. Look here. The boy had 11 burglary counts, and I feared for my life when he reached down for that gun. What I thought was a gun.
Yeah,
and
what
I
you
don't
thought
care.
Was a
I'll
gun.
I tell you on this radio show.
He was reaching down to grab a Larry, I don't think you'd make it in today's law enforcement. I really don't.
Well, let me tell you something, Paul Feinbaum. I arrested the first contract killer in Lees, the first hit man. I got a hell of a record 18 years in law enforcement.
We're going to dig your record up tomorrow and have it on the show. We'll see you tomorrow.